Susie Jessup's a get-up-and-go type. A long night's sleep, increased her comforts just are not her priorities. You know, she showed me some pictures of one adventure in Nicaragua, which we've posted up at SavvyTraveler.org, by the way, and I realized just how well she described the lake, the volcano. I don't know. Why don't I just let Susie tell you all about it?
Climbing Nicaragua's most perfectly cone-shaped active volcano seemed like a good idea until the rumors started. Volcán Concepción towers almost a mile above Isla de Ometepe, an island in the middle of Nicaragua's largest freshwater lake, and the only lake in the world infested with freshwater sharks. Every year, the volcano spits out boulders the size of Volkswagen vans. No one's been hit, yet. I started getting a sense of dread when we offered our waitress $2,000 American to be our guide, and she flatly refused. I kept telling myself, there really is something to being perched on the rim of an active volcano in the middle of an island, in the middle of a lake, in the middle of Central America. So at 3 o'clock one morning, with a full moon beaming, the adventure began.
This is beyond a bad road. This is like the worst four-wheel drive road.
I'm with Jim, a longtime family friend who lives in Costa Rica. Isla de Ometepe means between two hills, and there are actually two volcanoes on the island. Volcán Madero is inactive, and its crater is filled with a translucent turquoise lake reminiscent of a J.R.R. Tolkien novel. The one we're climbing, Volcán Concepción, is active, steep, filled with boiling lava, and more like the road to Mordor than the road to the Shire.
We haven't been even hiking an hour. We've been hiking 50 minutes. And this is so much harder than I thought it was going to be. Everything I'm wearing is wet. And it's still really dark. It's hard to negotiate the steps because there's holes. And boulders, volcanic boulders to climb over. And jungles and forests and lions and tigers and bears.
Fresh, clean air, though.
Any thoughts, Jim?
No, Susie, except that I'm going to kill you.
We hired two guías, or guides, for $60 total. Both guides spoke no English and showed up wearing black leather wingtip dress shoes. During the entire trip up, they didn't even break a sweat.
So he told us that once we got to El Plano, that we'd be halfway, and it's 5:45 in the morning. So I think we're doing okay. So we're taking a little break right here and looking at the most spectacular sunrise over Lago de Nicaragua. It's just beautiful.
Even though volcanic boulders surround us, flowers of every color dot the landscape. Green elephant leaves the size of large pizzas and embedded with thorns form a mini obstacle course. 15 minutes from the top, the silence is overwhelming.
The guides were explaining to me that last rainy season, this thing erupted, because what happens every year is that the cold rainwater goes into it, it freezes it up, and the lava starts to get a hard crust. Then it blows out. The whole land shakes, and then goes boom, boom. Then it shatters out rocks. So down here, you hear trees falling and rocks coming down the hill, and so it's pretty impressive.
The last stretch seems like a mile straight up, and all I can smell is sulfur. Clumps of frost cling to my hair. My feet and legs have been cramping for an hour, and my lower back is ruined. I'm hungry, cold, and weary. But it's the deafening and wallet-packing wind that becomes the most perilous part of the journey.
Hey, ay, ay, ay. God, that could do it to us, that wind. We made it, JJ.
It's right. We're at the top of a live volcano. The ground's hot.
You know what? We're sitting right on the lip of the volcano, and the ground is hot where we're sitting. The wind is freezing. It's freezing outside. Oh, my God.
Looking into the maw, this active volcano is like a glimpse into the pit of hell. Wind eddies swirling around craggy boulders and mist clouds block the sight of gurgling lava. At one point, Jim decided to sacrifice a bracelet to the volcano gods. The minute he threw it in, an updraft caught the trinket and spit it 200 feet into the air. The gods were clearly unhappy. On a clear day, it's possible to see two oceans. But today, visibility is barely 100 feet. In the mist, we see a hauntingly lonely obelisk sporting a torn flag. Someone climbed this volcano and built this Devil's Post pile.
Would you ever recommend anyone do this?
No. And I don't really like you anymore.
Descending the volcano was pretty brutal. The climb down wreaked havoc on Jim's knees, and he fell down a number of times. I'm still coming to grips with the fact that I hallucinated. In broad daylight, 45 minutes from the end, I saw the cutest little gray and white donkey looking at me through the trees. The mule was an exact doppelganger of Juan Valdez's coffee-picking companion. It stared at me sweetly. He was saddled up and ready to take Jim back to the car. I yelled to Jim that the guides brought us a donkey. But there was no donkey. My mind had hit the wall.
We're finally in the car. We're done.
I hope.
That's, I think, one of the hardest things I've ever done in my life.
Yeah, easily. And I'm going to kill you.
Jim recently called me from Costa Rica. He insisted I return so we can climb the other volcano, Volcan Madeiras. He convinced me that there really is something to climbing not one but two volcanoes in the middle of an island, in the middle of a shark-infested lake, in the middle of Central America. And who am I to argue?
Susie Jessup is a reporter and radio producer based out of Santa Monica, California.